We just celebrated Christmas yesterday. That's how most people would say it, as if Christmas were over already. We celebrated it yesterday. But the church says we just started celebrating Christmas yesterday. The Christmas season began yesterday or Friday night. And it launches us into an 8-day period, the octave of Christmas that goes up to January 1st. So Christmas Day, December 25, focuses on the birth of Jesus Christ. The solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God, on January 1st, focuses on the unique role of Mary, our Blessed Mother. And in between these two feasts, usually on the Sunday after Christmas, we have today's feast, the Feast of the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Even if you don't listen to anything I say, there are a number of images of the Holy Family right here in the church. We've got Joseph standing behind me, Mary standing over there, and Jesus in the middle. Actually, there's three images of Jesus here. One in the arms of Joseph, one in the arms of Mary, and then one on the cross. So, Holy Family. Then there is, of course, the Nativity scene there, the Belen, the Holy Family. And a third one, if you're careful to look up into the ceiling, the second image from the entrance, first image is Annunciation, the second stained glass window there in the ceiling is the Holy Family. Mary holding the baby, Jesus, and Joseph looking on, holding his staff. You can see that in the ceiling there. So, the Holy Family, we know who they are. Yesterday we celebrated Jesus' birth. Jesus was not conceived in the ordinary way, but he came into the world in the ordinary way. He was born of a woman, just like everybody else who has ever lived, just like all of us. Today we recall that Jesus also came into the world in the ordinary circumstances of human life, that is, in a normal human family with a human father and a human mother. He was not an alien. He's not like Superman from another planet or something. He's fully human. God could have come into the world any way he wanted. Remember, he's God. He's almighty. He could have come down in a cloud. He could have come down in a flash of lightning. He could have been in a fiery chariot, like took Elijah to heaven. But he didn't choose any of these extraordinary ways. He chose a married couple, a family. And not only did he come into the world in a human family, he lived with his family in Nazareth for 30 years, doing ordinary work in ordinary family life. His public ministry was only 3 years. He wasn't wasting his time for 30 years until he got started with his public life. No, he was living in perfect holiness. He was living in perfect fulfillment of the will of the Father. He was fulfilling the commandments, including the commandment, honor your father and your mother. Well, why? Why did God choose to do it like this? Part of the reason why is because God loves marriage. God loves families. He loves family life. After all, he's the one who created marriage and the family in the first place. From the very beginning, marriage and family was part of his plan, his perfect plan, his good plan for the human family. A marvelous little community, a domestic church, a gift of God, the family. Not only a gift of God, but also a true reflection of God. God himself is a community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, today's feast then gives us an opportunity to reflect not only on the Holy Family, but also on how God is calling all our families to be holy families, and to reflect on the Holy Family of the Church, where we are all brothers and sisters, children of one Father. So there's something very refreshing about this feast. I hope that's your sense of it. Something very good, positive about it. And it's refreshing because very often what we hear about marriages and about families these days is the bad news. People point to all the things that go wrong in family life. People complain about their own family life sometimes, their own marriages. So people focus more on the breakdown than on the beauty of marriage. People focus more on the harm that is done to children rather than the benefit that children receive from their parents. People focus on, oh gosh, infidelity, child abuse, stress, trauma, division, families fighting over the children, fighting over the money, fighting over the inheritance, and whatever. And seeing all these are real problems, no doubt. But seeing all of these, the world sometimes proposes alternatives to God's plan. They say, well, instead of this idea of lifelong faithful marriage, it would be better to allow divorce. Let people start again. That's how people think. Or they say, instead of the children being the natural and beautiful fruit of the love of the father and the mother, they say it would be better to use more reproductive technology and genetic screening and this sort of thing. Instead of parents, the fathers and the mothers being primarily responsible for their own children, people say, well, let's get the experts in on it. Let's get the government. Let's get the schools. Let's get someone else to take charge of them and raise them the way we want them to grow. Because the parents don't do it. Besides, they say, children are a lot of work. Children cost a lot of money. Maybe we would be better to use more contraception. And if that doesn't work, abortion. Well, you know this kind of talk, and I suppose we could spend all afternoon talking about the distortions and the errors and the problems facing families, but that would be pretty boring. We've heard that already. And not only that, it would threaten our true Christmas joy, which is the joy that comes with welcoming God's plan. So let's focus again, or instead, let's focus on God's plan for the family and on this model of family life, the Holy Family of Nazareth. Today's beautiful feast is like an antidote to all the poisonous thinking that is in the world these days. Now, when I say that the Holy Family is a model, we have to be careful not to treat Jesus, Mary, and Joseph as something unreal, model like it's fake, unreal. We look at the nativity scene, for example, or the statues, or any stampita, and they always look perfect, everything perfect, holy. And we say, well, our own families don't look like that. We don't have everything all neat and clean and holy looking. Real family life it gets messy. There are misunderstandings that have to be worked out. There are household chores. There's shopping to be done. There's joyful times. There's sorrowful times. There's inside jokes and there's laughter and there are arguments. The roof leaks. There are money problems. And it's not always perfect peace and joy and harmony in families. No family has it like that, including the Holy Family. So we look at today's gospel, and it tells us that the Holy Family was not an artificial, problem-free society. We read about the time Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem when he was 12 years old. His parents headed back to Nazareth. So there was some kind of misunderstanding here. Something went wrong. It seems that Jesus thought that Mary and Joseph knew that he would stay. He didn't deliberately make them suffer. And it seems they thought he was with the relatives. They ask him why he has done this to them. He asks them why they were looking for him. Mary tells him that this has caused great anxiety for her and Joseph. In other words, the Holy Family has its share in normal human problems. Of course, this misunderstanding, this anxiety, this astonishment, this is without sin on their part. When we introduce sin into the family, well, we make matters much worse for ourselves. What can we learn then from this curious incident of the loss and finding of Jesus in the temple, this fifth joyful mystery? I'll just mention two things. First of all, we can see that the center of the life of the Holy Family, the center, what should be the center of our own family life, is obedience to the will of God. No matter what anyone else thinks, even if there will be misunderstandings, even if it will cause division, the only way to build real unity and respect and harmony is for each family member to commit himself or herself to doing the will of God, obedience to the will of God. This is crucial. This is a foundation. Jesus here stays in the temple in obedience to the Father. He stays in the Father's house. Mary and Joseph search for him in obedience to the Father, because it's the duty of parents to look after the welfare of their children. Jesus returns to Nazareth with them in obedience to the Father. You notice that part of obedience to God's will is for children to obey their parents. That's the commandment. It says here, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. So that's the first thing, obedience to the will of the Father. That's a foundation. Second thing, the only other thing I'll mention here, is that misunderstandings and problems do not have to break the relationships in the family. We don't see Mary and Joseph blaming each other over this incident. Maybe they had disagreements, but they didn't turn against one another. We don't see the members of the family refusing to talk to each other. They might question each other, they might disagree. They don't fully understand each other, that's clear. The scripture even says here that after Jesus gave his parents his answer that he must be in his Father's house, they did not understand what he said to them. They did not understand it. Mary kept it in her heart, pondering it, but she didn't understand it, not at first. Parents often do not understand their children, especially as they get older. Children often do not understand their parents. That's simply part of family life. That's not necessarily a bad, it's just the way it is. It was that way in the Holy Family. It's not an excuse to give up. It's not an excuse to isolate ourselves. It's not an excuse for disobedience. Jesus, who is the Son of God, obeyed his human parents, even when they did not understand him. Okay, my point here, relationships do not have to break when tensions rise. We can work through them if there's a commitment to love and if there's a commitment to obeying God. Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man because he was obedient to his Father and because he was obedient to Joseph and Mary. This simple, basic pattern of family life was the perfect preparation for his public ministry after 30 years at home. Okay, that's where we can conclude. God loves family life. He loves family life. He knows that problems will arise, but the family is the place where we learn to work through problems. Marriage and family are not human inventions. They are God's beautiful plan for human life and growth. So let us, on this feast day, and as we approach a new year, let us strive to be obedient to God in all ways, obedient to God's beautiful plan. Let us strive to be like the Holy Family, to be holy families, because that's the key to being happy families.